Allow me to begin this morning by saying to you that probably, very probably, Zacchaeus was a historical person. Very rarely in the Gospels is a name ever used for a particular person. And when it happens, it usually means that the early church knew that guy. And so Zacchaeus was probably part of the life of the early church. And here today, he's sharing his story. And his story, I think, invites a lot of questions from us, all of us. Like, for example, why really did Zacchaeus climb that sycamore tree? I know it says in the gospel that he was short in stature, he couldn't see over the crowd, and that's why he did it. But I wonder if there's a little bit more to all that. Because it said he wasn't a tax collector, it said he was the chief tax collector. So as we said last week, he would be seen as an absolute traitor to the Jewish people and a despicable thief. And because of that, that would put him in a certain amount of danger. And could this crowd that was there actually recognize him? He's in real danger. So I would suggest the reason why he climbed that sycamore tree was because he wanted to hide. If people recognized him, they would have beat him to a pulp if they would have got a chance to get their hands on Zacchaeus. That's why he climbed the tree. And the second question, why did he want to see Jesus anyway? Now, the simple answer to that is he was curious. Here's this kind of wonder worker, this celebrity of sorts, Jesus kind of going through his hometown. So he kind of wanted to get a chance to see him. But I wonder if there was more to that for this chief tax collector. I wonder if he was just trying to really figure this Jesus out. Who is Jesus? What makes him tick? What makes him burn? I mean, is it possible there's just simply nothing here? No substance, all fluff to this guy? But he sees Jesus. He's struck by him. He's captivated by him. Here, maybe, for the first time, this guy might be the real deal here. So then what happens next? Well, the tables are turned. He goes to see Jesus, and Jesus looks up and sees him. Calls him by name, invites him down from that tree to come down in the midst of that hostile crowd there. And he comes down, struck by Jesus, he comes down in the midst of that crowd, and Jesus defends him and says, this guy, well, let me get to that part in a minute. And what Jesus does next, he invites himself to dinner and all of that. And I guess the next question is, what about the crowd? What do they do whenever Zacchaeus comes down amongst them? Well, they grumble, they complain. Here's their hero, Jesus, goes to dinner with this guy. Why didn't he go to dinner at my house? Why does he go to dinner with this guy? And so what Jesus does, as I was going to say earlier, he defends him. This guy's a son of Abraham too. Despite what he's done, God loves him too. God accepts him too. And so he defends him. And then finally, what happens next? Surprisingly, Zacchaeus actually defends himself and proclaims his own innocence. He says, if I have extorted anybody, doesn't say I did. He says, if I did, I'll pay it back fourfold. And here's your connection to Arise for this week. He says, I'm going to give half of my stuff, half of my wealth to the poor. Is that an act of charity or is that an act of justice? Because that question is really important for Arise this week. When is charity not enough? When must it be justice in our postmodern world we live in today? To understand that question is to understand much of the church's social teachings. But here's my last question to all of you. This is what I'm going to spend a little bit of time on. What does all this have to do with us? Now, I want to answer that or struggle with that or talk about that by offering all of you a story. And back in the 1800s, this poet by the name of John Greenleaf Whittier wrote one of the most quoted poems in all the English language. And the poem is entitled Maud Miller. I'm sure none of you ever heard of it. Anybody? Maud Miller at all. But I bet you that many of you have heard the last two lines of the poem. The story is about Maud Miller, who's working in the fields one day, and she looks up from working in the fields, and she sees this young, handsome man coming by on horseback, and he's a judge, and she offers him a cold drink of water. The encounter between the two of them lasts for just a few moments, but both of them are touched from the other. Both of them are attracted to one another in all that. And Maud is very much attracted to him. She would love to marry such a kind, compassionate person of integrity. She would like to leave these fields behind and be the wife of such a good, kind, and gentle man. And this judge, he's very much attracted to Maud too. He's kind of weary of his career of being a judge, and he would love to marry a compassionate, warm woman like Maud to live a simpler kind of a life. But while both of them are very much attracted to each other, neither of them act upon it at all. They come from two different social classes, so they're afraid to risk somewhere along the way of breaking the bonds of social conformity. And so at the end of his poem, Whittier gives this warning to all of us. Of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these. It might have been. It might have been. It might have been. In the story about Zacchaeus, folks, this is the most important thing. He takes the plunge. He takes the great risk, not knowing where it's going to take him, of being a follower of Jesus Christ. He came to see. He eventually embraces. He becomes a follower of Jesus Christ intentionally, and it changes his entire life. He becomes a member of the early church. And the crowd, well, listen to this now. The crowd is always on the verge of commitment. Always on the verge. But they never take the plunge. They never make the big risk. They never make the big choice. It's like I said last week. They go to church to get a vaccination so to protect them against the real thing. And they murmur. And they complain. And they grumble. Zacchaeus, what on earth has happened to you? Did you take the Alpha course? Did you go to Crescio? Did you join one of those small groups or something like that? Did you make a decision that you're going to go to Mass every single Sunday without fail? Did you decide that you're going to read the Bible every single day and quit complaining about it and just read it and figure it out? Did you promise that you're going to pray, not just say a bunch of prayers, but did you say you're really going to pray, Zacchaeus, every single day to have a relationship with this Jesus Christ? Zacchaeus, are we not going to see you at the club so much anymore? We're not going to see you at the bar so much anymore? Are you not going to get politely drunk with us every once in a while? You know, cruising, you're not going to enter into the dirty talk we do all the time? Are you not going to cruise around the internet like we oftentimes do? Zacchaeus, are you really going to give half of your possessions to the poor? Are you serious? All of this because you met Jesus Christ? All this because you went out on the limb? All this because the most important thing in your life right now is this intimate personal relationship with Jesus? Zacchaeus, is that why you're doing that? Zacchaeus, are you doing all this because at the end of your life, you don't somehow want to say, it might have been, it might have been, it might have been if only I had risked, if only I had answered the call, if only I'd really, not just go to church, but really chosen to be a follower of Jesus Christ.